Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I wanted to talk about what is your assignment today? What is your assignment? But I want to establish some context first. I want to talk about some greater things. The first thing is our purpose. So our assignment has to be grounded in our purpose. And what is our purpose? It is why we exist. This never changes. Our purpose will always remain the same. And our purpose is to be fully known and loved by Jesus. And to make Him fully known and loved. It is to worship Him and glorify Him, which is why what I love, what Pastor Steve was sharing. We sing these songs, but this is our purpose. This is what we have been created to do. And that never changes. And today I'm going to share about Paul the Apostle and also the church in Ephesians. And he says in Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He's doing it for Christ Jesus. He's doing it to glorify Him. And the next thing is, you know, we understand that we live by the great commandments and the great commission, that we are to love God, to love one another, and we are to go and make disciples. This is our purpose. And then we also have our calling, which is the primary way that God has shaped and gifted us to participate in that purpose. It's the expression and the direction that we tend to go into. As it says in Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. This was his calling. This was his direction. This is where he would go. This sometimes changes, but it's generally the same in what we do. It's the expression in which we do. So Paul remained an apostle. He remained a shepherd to the Gentiles. Why am I telling you this? It's to set the context for assignments. But then the assignment that we get is a specific act of obedience that God is asking you in this season. To complete in this season, to complete in this moment. And this changes all the time. And we have to be ready to change with that. There are specifics. It is formative, and there are tasks that we have to do that God has given us. And don't freak out. There's going to be a lot of words that come up, but the reason why I'm giving you this is so you've got a crash course, all right? So Paul's assignments, he had many, many assignments. You see, Paul remained an apostle. He remained a shepherd. We're going to go through everything. No, I'm kidding. This is just a crash course. We're going to see the full chat, the full conversation tonight. No, I'm kidding. Paul's assignments, you can see he had the restoration of Damascus where he had his turnaround. Then he had the preparation. He didn't come straight to preaching. He had the preparation in Galatians. And then he was growing in Antioch. And then he had his first missions journey. And then also he was told not to go somewhere. So he was heading somewhere. He got told not to go in Acts. He got redirected to Macedonia. He got told to stay in Corinthians to build the church. And then he got told to go to Rome despite the suffering that was waiting for him. Then he got told to witness in the trials and in the prisons. And then at the very end, he was told to write letters in prisons. And these are the letters that we read today. So you can see Paul's calling never changed from apostle and his purpose never diverted away from glorifying Jesus Christ. So we've got our purposes, we've got our callings, and we've got our assignments. And why do we need to understand what our assignment is? Well, every season has an assignment. And God's purposes are accomplished through us. God's purpose of glorifying Him are accomplished through us, through you and I. He invites us to participate in His purposes. And not only that, it transforms us. The more assignments we do for God, the more it transforms us. The more in step we are with the Lord, the more it builds us up. And it produces fruit in us. So the more assignments we complete for the Lord, it's like, you know, a video game. You level up the more side quests you complete. But He invites us to participate in His glory through assignments, through callings. And we've been talking about giftings. We were talking about coming back to your first love. We were talking about being prepared in your holy faith so we can stand up to false teaching. So there is something that God is bringing us today at my heart for you. It's to understand and discern, what is your assignment? What am I meant to be doing in this moment, in this season? Because I'm telling you, times are coming where we can easily get taken off track. So we need to be so grounded in God that we go, I know what He's called me to do, and I'm going to do it. So what is your assignment today? Now, I want to pray over you. And to pray over you, I'm going to read Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 2, verse 7. Kill two birds with one stone. I see Prem taking notes here on how to keep up with time. So I'm just going to pray over you, Ephesians. One verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in Lord Jesus Christ and your love for God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I ask that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand on the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age but in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills in every way. And as for you, church, you were dead in transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rule of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived one among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires of thought. Like the rest, we were nature deserving of wrath, but because of God's great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. That even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We just pray, Lord, we take a hold of this. We understand your incredible grace. We understand that it is you that we want to glorify and worship. That it is you that bring this family together. That it is you that this body of Christ sits under. And I pray that we'll run this race, Lord, for you. That you'll prepare our hearts, Lord, to stand before you, knowing that we have accomplished our purposes and our assignments in you, Father. So would you give us clarity? Would you give us discernment? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So what is your assignment today? There are so many things that we could be doing. There are so many things that demand our attention. But what is your assignment today? And the thing is, the Bible is full of assignments. But there's also something that we need to know. We got to understand what we need to take out from the Bible. And there's a thing called descriptive and prescriptive. Descriptive, the Bible is a story. It describes what happened. Now, because Noah built an ark, is that calling you to build an ark? Someone's gone quiet here. I think someone's got an ark in the backyard. It's descriptive. It's sharing a story. But then what we've got to find out is what's the underlying message behind this. And that's prescriptive. It's like a doctor prescribing you medication. Take this four times a week and you'll be right. It's instructions. It's commands. So what we got to understand is Noah was commanded to build an ark so that his family would be saved and he'll become the vehicle in which all the world would be saved. But the prescription is, do what I say and I'll protect you. Complete this assignment, I'll lead you in this. And Noah obeyed, and then we get to see the fruitfulness of that. So we got to understand, what is the story behind this? We don't read the Bible and just go, yep, 1 + 1 = 2. We understand the story and we go, what is God doing in this? And what is God doing in me that as a result, I've got to step into that. And the Bible is full of assignments. And I was tossing and turning, do I go through the whole Bible and just talk about all these different assignments? Because I know I love to do that. I love the word. But then I got told, stick with Paul the Apostle with all the 10 assignments he had and the church in Ephesians. We've got to understand there are different assignments that we need to have in life, different seasons. As it says in Ecclesiastes 3, famous verse, famous passage, I heard it last Wednesday. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time for a laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. If you're telling a new Christian that, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I don't know where to start. But this is where we need the Lord to direct our steps. We need to understand the assignments that we have so we can step into them and walk with the Lord in that and see the fruitfulness of that. Now, I want to preface something very, very important here. As good as it is to talk about something to do, you also need to talk about what it's not. If you miss out on an assignment, it doesn't mean that you are doomed. And it's also to say that you are not the only person that God could work through, that if you don't do it, God is doomed. The most comforting comment I've ever heard in my life is God has factored in my stupidity when he made his plans. If you relate to that, go for it. But we need to understand that God can redeem time. God can work through other people if you choose not to obey. But I also want to preface this. You miss out in that very moment of some fruitfulness and some growth when you don't step into that. So we got to walk in this tension of, I ought to do what God has told me to do, but if I miss out, there's still time to get it back, but it may be harder, might be slightly a bit messier, and maybe a bit more work to do in order to get there. So I want you to have that in mind. This is not condemnation, but this is an invitation to step into the assignments, the calling, and the purposes that God has for us. Amen? So let's have that in our mind. But as I mentioned, that it's not about missing out on God's will forever or that we have full control over what God does in our world. Esther makes this really good point from Mordecai at 4 verse 13 to 14. Esther is in the king's good standing, and Mordecai gives this answer. He says, do not think, Esther, that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place or another person. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. So this little context here is saying that if you don't do what you need to do, the Jews will be okay because God's got a plan for us. But you may not be okay. But then he also says, but you have come to this position for a time as this, so go and do it. It's kind of like a backhand slap, you know, get them ready and just make sure you know everything before you go and do what you need to do. But what this is pointing out is we are here for such a time as this. That God will still work his will and whatever he needs to do, but he wants to do it through you today. So don't miss out. Don't miss out. So what is your assignment today? The first thing we need to see is see the assignment. It's to see what God is doing. It is to say that I notice what God is doing and I'm paying attention. And as we read in Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10, it says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is from the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. Thanks for stealing my notes, Pastor Steve, when you're praying for Joan. Go on, it's good. But we have works that God has prepared for us in advance to do. And I remember one time I was driving home and I got to my front door and I turned to the person next to me. I just felt I heard from the Lord. And I said to that person, I'm going through heart surgery. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Spiritual surgery. Don't know what's going to happen to me. And then I saw it, but then I freaked out and I kind of went into sleep spiritually. And for the next 2 years, it was like depression or all these things. And God couldn't do heart surgery. So I saw it, but then I missed it. And I resisted it and I went to sleep. And the moral of the story is we can see what God is doing, but not step into it. But then, lo and behold, 3 or 4 years later, the same thing happened again. I was like, I'm going to stay awake this time. So what are we seeing God doing? Question is, what is God doing in this moment, in the places and spaces that I'm in the church family that I'm in the community that I'm in the world that I'm in? What is God doing? We need to see what God is doing. We need to wait on Him. You know, like when the apostles were told to wait on the Lord, wait on the Holy Spirit, they seen and they had heard that and they waited. Some left because they didn't want to wait. So we need to begin to see what is the Lord doing today? What is the Lord doing tomorrow? And some of the issues that come out of this that stop us from seeing the Lord is being distracted. It's being so distracted that you're preoccupied with other things that you miss out on what God is doing. And that's dangerous. You know, Mary and Martha. I have to remember which is which. And there was a book called Being a Mary in a Martha World, which means we've got to be a Mary in a world that is busy. That's how I remember. So that's my process. So Martha was too busy. And Jesus says, I'm here right now. Mary has chosen the thing that's better for her in this moment. Sometimes it's passivity. You know, we're too passive. Like I fell asleep. I said, I didn't want to deal with it. We can see what God is doing and not partner with it. We could choose to say, you know what? God could do that. I'm cool. I don't want to step out. I want to be comfortable. Or we could have pure ignorance and not even pay attention to what God is doing. It's only me, myself, and I. But then we read Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So there is a race that is marked out for you, and we are to focus on Jesus Christ as we run that race. Sounds very simple, doesn't it? There is a race that is marked out for you. There is good works that God has prepared for you to do. And all we have to do is just run towards Jesus Christ. If there's a trophy on your right and you're looking at the trophy, you're going to run in the wrong direction. So you're going to run towards a goal and the rest will come. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we need to be able to see the assignment. I had a moment last night, so I work in Nando's. And one of my workers came up to me, 16 years old. He said, oh, someone left a 60-second gospel, flyer in the stands. And I said, oh, yeah, I know the gospel, do you? He kind of just freaked out. And I said, someone's already doing the hard work for me. So we need to see the assignment. It's in those moments. Praise God, whoever that person was. We need to be able to see the assignment. What is God doing in this place? What is God doing right now? But it's not enough to see the assignment. You can see it and completely miss out on it. We need to be able to discern the assignment. And I feel like a lot of people in this church, their prayer is, I just want more discernment. And I feel like God's putting things in front of your face to help you discern. Say, do you see this? Do you discern this? And we're just not paying attention. We need to understand the assignment. We need to understand and discern what is our part to play, what is our role that I need to do in this. We need to go when God tells us to go and stop when God tells us to stop. The enemy wants us to go when God tells us to stop, and he wants us to stop when God tells us to go. We need to be able to discern, what is my part to play in this? Why has God given me these words? Why has God given me these instructions? We need to be able to discern our part to play. As it says in Ephesians 3, verse 1 to 13, this is the mission of Paul. He's discerning already what is his responsibility. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. That's all of us. Members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given through me the working of his power. Or that I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentile the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for the ages past was kept hidden in God and created all things. His intent was now that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purposes that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And I ask, therefore, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. What an incredible passage. Wow. Before this, no one knew what he had just said. The gospel was entrusted to the Jewish people alone and to Israel alone. And then Paul, in his revelation, was able to discern, I am the one to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. I'm the one to change the whole game because of this revelation that I've received as an apostle. And today we stand here as fruit of that. You had no access. Now you do. Because Paul the apostle discerned what God was doing. And the church at Ephesus was an incredible church. They came from a large strategic port in, I think, Rome. They were idolaters, witches, all these things. And then they heard the gospel that was revealed to them, and then they let it all go. They burned their scrolls. They did all these things because of the gospel they heard. And as a result, they became an incredible church that was on fire for God, that was serving him, that was working for him. And Paul the apostle had such a soft spot for them. Because the thing was, if they could be transformed, then anyone could be transformed. And then we heard in Alice's message last week that the church in the letters in Revelations, they lost their first love. So this is why we need to be on assignment all the time and to understand our calling all the time to ultimately live out our purpose all the time. Now, if you don't have any assignments, you don't do any assignments and you don't know your calling, but you literally live for the purpose alone, you still be set. It is a purpose of what we do that we've been created for. That is the most important thing, and everything else will feed itself. So I don't want you to think about, well, what's my assignment? What do I need to do today? Ask those questions, but don't lose your hair over it. Lesson learned. So the question is, what is God asking of me? So the first question is, what is God doing? What is God asking of me? Because if I do the wrong thing, in the right time, it's still the wrong thing. If I'm called to pray, but he said I try and control, that's the wrong thing. If I'm called to speak, but I say quiet, that's the wrong thing. So the question is, what is God asking of me? And we need to be like the sons of Issachar, which is in 1 Chronicles 12. What a great description. Men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. We need to be men and women who understood the times and knew what we should do as a church. To discern and go, okay, what is God asking me? What is God asking of us? The very small description, but I just had to share that because I'll be like, imagine if we could do that. The church of New South, men and women who understood the times and knew what to do. But then also you got Matthew 16, verse 2 to 3, where Jesus rebukes, and I love it. He says, when evening comes, you say that it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of times. It's like you have this knowledge, but you don't use it wisely. You're missing out, and Jesus, the Messiah, is looking at them in front of them saying, you're missing out on all this. So we need to discern the times. Discern the assignment. And I remember in my early 20s, I was getting frustrated, I was getting burdened, I was getting tired. And I just spent time in the Lord. I said, what is going on? Why am I not where I need to be? Why am I not feeling how I should be feeling? Why am I not doing what I'm not doing? And God said, you're carrying the wrong weight. You're trying to control things. You're trying to plan your steps. You're trying to do all these things. And as a result, you're carrying the wrong burdens. And that's why you're coming to me complaining. You're not carrying what I asked you to carry. And that was to simply look after yourself, build yourself up in your most holy faith, and I'll take care of the rest. But you're trying to work out your job, your vocation. You're trying to work out your whole life before you. I never asked you to do that. And it wasn't until that moment I realized that I needed to change the way I live. And I went from planning the next decade to not even knowing what happens tomorrow. Not the best thing, but I'm still working on the pendulum swing. But I became focused on what I need to do today, because tomorrow will take care of itself. And that's what Jesus says. Worry about today, because today's got enough troubles, and I'll lead you in that. So the issues that we have in discerning is the control. We're trying to control things, or we're focusing on the wrong assignment. We're focusing on the wrong things in our lives. We're trying to deal with certain things, but not dealing with the root cause. We're trying to have conversations, trying to control stuff and get outcomes that we want, but God is at work, and He's asking you to play your part. So what are we needing to discern in our assignment? Are we seeing what God is doing? And are we asking Him what is required of us? And to be honest, you may not like the answer sometimes. We see that in the season of building, Noah was called to build something. We see that Elijah was called to rest before he went back out. You see that Gideon was called to go. When he was trying to test the Lord, we see so many different assignments that people are called to do, and we need to understand what is the season that I'm in and what do I need to do. If you try to work when you're meant to rest or rest when you're meant to work, stuff's going to happen. But you can see the assignment, you can discern the assignment, but then you've got to do the assignment. You're not meant to cram the night before at 11:30 a.m. to finish it by 11:30 p.m. to finish it by 12 a.m. You're called to discern the assignment. Do we go when God says go? Do we stop when God says stop? It says in Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 16, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. See the word calling in there. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, a Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And that's our purposes. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. That is why it says, when Jesus ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by every cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body grows, joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You can see the whole thing in there, purposes, callings, and assignments. We are called to glorify God as the head of the church, as the Lord of our lives, and we have been called to express that in the very ways that we can express. As you know, the body of Christ is the imagery of the eye cannot say to the ear that you're not important. We need every person to do his work, otherwise we all miss out on what you could bring. And then he also says so that each part can do his work. Ministry means service. It means to serve the house of the Lord. It means to serve one another, and it means to serve God. And he says, whatever you do in service, do it well. Yeah. And what's the result? What's the fruit? We all grow and mature in us. We all grow together, and we mature in ourselves and as a body, as a family, and therefore we can reap the fruitfulness of that, the beauty of the unity, the love, and the peace. Sometimes we struggle to see God. It's because we're not doing the assignments, we're not serving, we're not doing what He's called us to do. Therefore, we don't have the fruitfulness. We get frustrated because we say, God is amazing, He's incredible, and we're not seeing that amazing thing that He can do. It's because we're missing out on the very assignments that God has called us to do inside and outside the church, in our lives, by ourselves, and also together. So the question is, will I obey? Will I obey? And I remember when God gave me a word, He said, James, just go in your quiet room and just read and read and read. I didn't like that word because it meant I had to do a whole lot of reading. So I went to another person. They didn't know anything about it. They said, James, I see you in the secret place reading the word. And then I went to a third person. They said, James, I see you just flicking through books and books and books. And then the last person said, I see him on a train. It's like a library of books. And you just stay on the train and you read. I said, all right, I get it. I'll read. Get it. It didn't change because I hadn't obeyed yet. But every time I read, I see the fruitfulness of that. Because that is what God is wanting me to do myself. To read, to gain knowledge. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, why are we not obeying? Why are we trying to ignore God? As he says in Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I struggle with the wording of that. I'm like, what do you mean work out? I already have it worked out. But what he really means is to outwork. Yeah. And that made more sense for me. As what I've received from God, let God outwork through me what he has done in me to each other. With fear of trembling, fear of the Lord. So we need to understand that we are equipped to do the very thing. He's given us everything we need as a result to do what he's called us to do. So what is stopping us from it is a fear. We spoke about fear this morning. It's a fear of man, fear of the Lord. Is it insecurity? Moses says, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Send someone else. He said, no, I'll send you. He said, send someone else. I'll send you. Send someone else. Fine, I'll send Aaron with you. Go. Is it lack of trust? You know, behavior is a language. If I say to the Lord, I trust you with my whole life, but then I don't do what he obeys, and my behavior is telling me something else. If I say, I love you, Lord, with my whole life, but only give him a part, my behavior is communicating something. Or is it because I'm unequipped, because I didn't do the things that I needed to do in prior, that when God's telling me to step into something, I'm not equipped for it. So we need to equip ourselves. So what is stopping us from doing the assignment? I'll give you an analogy to help you out. We know traffic lights, right? We recognize a traffic light. We understand what it is. We discern what the color is. Is it green, yellow, or red? And then what it means, the interpretation, and then we act. So red means stop, green means go, and yellow means go faster. So seeing without discerning leads to confusion. Discerning without acting leads to disobedience. Even delayed obedience is disobedience. And I really want us to come to a point where we ask ourselves the question which is found in Micah 6 verse 8, which is that he has shown you, O mortal, that's you and me, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So I'm going to change my title. So I said, what is your assignment? I think that's a bit too me, myself, and I. So we're going to change it to, Lord, what do you require of me? What do you require of me in this moment, in this season? Now, as I said, it's all about me and what I'm doing. My point number four is probably the most important, is we need to follow the assigner in all that we do. Do I follow him? It is him who grounds me. And he says in Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I pray that you'll be established and rooted in Christ Jesus, that you dwell in him, so that in him he could do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. So the question is, who am I becoming as I walk with Jesus? You know, like we heard about the church in Ephesus, they did all the work, they served, but then they forgot the love of Christ. They forgot the first love. We can serve and work and forget the Lord in that. And that's a scary place to be. So the question is, who am I becoming daily as I walk with him? And the truth is, if I wasn't walking with God, I wouldn't have the grace to stand where I am today. I wouldn't be able to stand at all because of all my disobedience, failures, delays. And it's because of the one thing that I've remained true to, and that is I always come back to Jesus. And that is to say that grace forgives, grace builds, and grace empowers. And it's because of grace alone that I can stand here. But I just have to come back to him. I just have to remain in him. And I have to pursue him in all things. And what stops us from doing that? Well, I think it's pride. You know, confession and repentance should be a daily act, because it means we're so sensitive to the Spirit. Now, I'm hoping that we confess and repent less and less as we grow in him, because that's kind of how he works, but we are never above confessing and repenting. It means that we are sensitive to the Lord. Oh, man, I missed out on that. But it's also to give yourself the grace to come to the Lord and say, hey, help me with this. And I think another thing that stops us is independence. And an even stronger word that really challenged me is ungodliness. I thought ungodliness would mean being evil, but ungodliness means be without God. To be independent. So we walk in independence, my way. I've got everything I need from God. I'm saved. I can do whatever I want. I've got to walk in the ways that I've set for myself. But then it starts to become ungodliness. Because the opposite is in godliness, to be dependent on him. As I mentioned in Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one could boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, in which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So the question that I really want you to meditate is, where am I today with the Lord? Am I living out the purposes that he has got for me, which is to glorify him, to be known and fully loved by him, and to make him fully known and loved? Am I living out the calling that God has given me uniquely, that it's my part to play in this house, in this community, in this world? And am I living according day by day to the assignments that the Lord has given me that's in front of us? Am I doing the very works that God has prepared in advance for me to do? And what a blessing. God doesn't need you, but he wants you. It is an invitation to partner with him. And as a result of that invitation, we gain fruitfulness, we gain growth, we get ourselves formed in him, we begin to understand him more, we begin to love on him more, and it's just like a cycle that feeds itself. So the longer you become a Christian, the more in love you should be with the Lord. If it's the opposite, something has gone wrong. Come back to your first love. Are we doing the very works that God has called us to do? Do we understand what the works are? Is it to build? Is it to grow? Is it to lead? Is it to rest? Is it to learn? Is it to serve? Is it to talk, speak, be quiet, listen? Is it to honor? Is it to repent? Is it to repair? What is it that the Lord requires of us? What is your assignment today?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.